Welcome to The Triathlon Show, the podcast presented by scientifictriathlon.com. My name is Michael Eriksson, and this is episode 3 of our beginner series. In the last episode, I covered how to find and select your first event, so if you haven't listened to that one already, it is well worth a listen, even if you have already done your first triathlon, but you're still in the beginning stages of your triathlon career. But in today's episode, I'll cover what can feel like quite an overwhelming topic, and that's true even for more experienced athletes. I honestly sometimes feel overwhelmed myself when it comes to gear and equipment. But this is a topic that here we'll, of course, discuss from the perspective of somebody who is very new to triathlon. That being said, even if you have done your first few races or even a full season of triathlon, I think you'll find this episode very valuable as it will give you a bit of a hierarchy of what gear and equipment is essential, what's nice to have, and what's maybe more of a luxury for later on. So just quickly before we continue on with the meaty part of this episode, a big thanks to our sponsors, Precision Fuel and Hydration. They create carbohydrate products like gels, drink mix and chews, and electrolyte products. And the reason that you want carbohydrates and electrolytes when you're doing triathlon, whether it's racing or longer training sessions or more intense training sessions, is that carbohydrate is the main fuel source that you'll be using in the race. You have a limited supply of it in your body, so depending on how long you'll be out on the race course for, this is something that you might need to supplement with so that you don't run out of those carbohydrate stores. And the carbohydrates that you get in products like gels and so on, they can be used quickly and effectively by the muscles. Electrolytes, on the other hand, are used to replace the salt that you lose when you sweat, because if you lose too much salt, then your muscle function may be impaired temporarily, or you may suffer from cramps. But a more severe situation and an important reason to use salt is that if you overhydrate with pure water, then and you lose that salt in your sweat, which you do, and the question is how much you lose, then you could actually suffer from something called hyponatremia. And yeah, if you get really severe symptoms of hyponatremia, then it can be quite serious, really. So this is the reason that especially on days when you sweat a lot and for a long time, so on hot days and so on, it is really important to get some electrolytes in with your fluid and not just dilute the electrolyte content in your blood and potentially risk running the risk of getting hyponatremia. As a That Triathlon Show listener, you can get 15% off your first order of 2025 by using the code TTS25 on precisionfuelhydration.com if you want to try any of their products. Now, let's get into the main topic for today, gear and equipment. And I want to start by making one thing very clear. You don't need a lot of gear to get started in triathlon. There are a lot of products out there, many of which are very good. And when you get a bit more experience and are fully committed to triathlon, especially, they can be very, very good. But all of these products, together with a lot of marketing and perhaps some peer pressure, can make you feel like you need the best of everything right away. And that's simply not true. So what I'll do now for the rest of this episode is to walk you through what are the really essential products, the essential pieces of gear and equipment. What are the pieces that are optional, but perhaps could be helpful even at an earlier stage? And what are the things that I recommend that you get to at a slightly later point? So it's a wait for later status. And then we'll also talk a bit about how to avoid wasting money in the early stages of your triathlon journey, because with so many things out there, it's easy to do, and I've certainly done it myself. So yeah, I'll try to help you avoid at least some of those mistakes. But let's start by going through the gear and equipment by discipline, starting with the swim. So to get started with swimming, all the essentials that you really need include a swimsuit, goggles, and a swim cap. And if you plan to train in the open water, not just race in it, you would also, in my opinion, you should get a safety buoy, also known as a tow float, because that's a really good safety item when you're swimming in the open water. But that's it, really. You don't have to get anything else. If you don't have hair on your head, you can even skip the swim cap, as most pools would not require a cap in this case. Now, there are a few optional items that could help you. An entry-level wetsuit is the main item that would fall in this category, and especially if your race is in cold open water or cold-ish open water, or if you do a lot of training or even some training in the open water and your open water training venue is not warm enough to swim without a wetsuit. But if you do get a wetsuit, I strongly recommend that you try it on before you buy it and have someone help you assess the fit. This might not be possible, of course, if you don't have a retail store locally that stocks wetsuits and has someone that is experienced or knowledgeable to help assess the fit. But you could try some local races, because at certain local races, you will have wetsuit manufacturers or just retailers will be there at the venue with a booth and with wetsuits that you can try and buy. And this could be a good opportunity to try one with somebody there that can help make sure that that fit is correct. And I just want you to be aware that an ill-fitting wetsuit can be, yeah, that's not something that you want to buy, really. It ends up being a wasted expense, because an ill-fitting wetsuit, it can end up taking in too much water, so it's really not good to swim in. Or on the other hand, it can be too tight, which can be just really uncomfortable, or even for some people, this can lead to panic attacks in the water. So it's really worth it to try it on before buying, if at all possible, at least for your first wetsuit, because after that, you'll have a bit more of an idea, at least with the brand that you're using, that, yeah, with this particular brand, this sizing seems to work well for me. If buying online, for your first wetsuit, then at least make sure that there's a size exchange policy in place so that you can buy it, try it at home, and if the size is clearly not correct, then you can at least send it back and get a different size. Other optional but helpful swim tools you could consider include a pull buoy, swim fins, a snorkel, and paddles. These are the four mainstays of a swim training bag that you might have seen at your local pool. None of these are must-haves to begin with. What I would recommend, actually, for most beginners to do is to take a few private lessons with a swim coach. And in this situation, the swim coach would be able to recommend which tools he thinks or she thinks would be the most useful for you to get at, based on how you're swimming when you're starting out. So to wrap up the swimming, the key mistakes here are, first and foremost, buying an ill-fitting wetsuit, and secondly, buying lots of swim toys before you even know what works for you. So keep it simple. Now, moving on to the bike. This is the sport that tends to require the most equipment in triathlon. Actually, it most certainly requires the most equipment in triathlon. But here again, you can start with the basics, and you should start with the basics. So what you really need is a functioning bike, and this could be a road bike, a mountain bike, a gravel bike, or just a commuter bike. The key is that it fits you and it's in good working condition. And then you also need a helmet. This is a must in all races and in training as well. And another thing is a basic repair kit. Even if you don't know how to fix a flat tire yet, then at least carry the tools, because then some helpful cyclist who sees you stopped on the road can help you if you have the tools. To be fair, most cyclists would have the tools to help you. But if you have your own spare tube, that's nice. Fixing a flat is actually a lot easier on something like a road bike compared to a commuter bike, depending on the size of the commuter bike, I guess. But on road bikes, it's very easy. So when you're at the point of doing your training on a road bike or even a gravel or mountain bike rather than a commuter bike, when you have got to the point of having one of those bikes, then I think it's time to invest the time into learning how to fix a flat. But if you're training for your first triathlon, you're still on a commuter bike, the risk of flats is small, you've maybe never had a flat, this is maybe a phase where, yeah, you don't really need to worry about that, because you're unlikely to have a flat. And if you later commit to being more, yeah, getting into triathlon, getting a road bike, that's the time that you can decide, now I will learn how to fix a flat, because you do want to do that eventually when you have that commitment and you know that, okay, you're going to stay in triathlon and be training and racing regularly. In addition, for comfort, a good pair of bib shorts or even just regular waist shorts can make a huge difference to your comfort on the saddle, on the bike. So bib shorts are the shorts that have straps that basically pull the pad up and keep it very stable. But when you're starting out, either option is totally fine. Then a bike jersey. It's a jersey that has back pockets for storage, which is really helpful actually and practical. I would recommend getting one of those for your training. And a water bottle and bottle cage to attach to your bike, of course. And finally, a saddlebag to store your repair kit. And that's pretty much it. If your bike has clipless pedals, clipless pedals, it's a bit of a counterintuitive term, because it means that you're actually clicking into the pedals and locking yourself into the into the pedals through your cycling shoes and the cleats on the cycling shoes. Then, yeah, with those sorts of pedals, cycling shoes with cleats are essential. But if you're new to cycling, then this is not something that you need to worry about just yet. You can stay on flat pedals and, yeah, change later. I certainly recommend doing it at a later point, slightly later point, not waiting too long either. But it's not something that you should do, that did make sense to do before your first triathlon or maybe even your second triathlon if it's not something that you feel that you really want to do. Then, yeah, just to wrap up the biking part, I want to highlight a common mistake with bike gear. That I would say is jumping straight into buying a lot of very expensive gear, whether it be things like a time trial bike, race wheels, aero helmet, or even a power meter. These things are all great, and I think that they're super fun, and I recommend everybody to get them at some point if you get into triathlon enough, but they can come later. I think that it's better to build some fitness early on, build some consistency in training first, and get some race experience as well, because then at that point you'll also be more knowledgeable about what you actually need, and you'll be better placed to make smarter equipment choices when you have given it a bit of time before you go on a shopping spree like this with when it comes to bike gear. All right, so moving into the run, this is perhaps the simplest of the three disciplines, I would say so, because with the swim, if you consider the wetsuit, it becomes a little bit more complicated. But the essentials for running are basically to have a good pair of running shoes that fit you well, feel comfortable, and you want to have decent running socks and comfortable sports clothing. So depending on the climate, this could be just a pair of technical shorts and t-shirt, and that's it. You don't need a GPS watch, you don't need carbon-plated shoes or any other piece of equipment or special gadgets when you're just getting started. The key is comfort and injury prevention, and the shoe really is the key thing here. So I recommend going to a specialized running store where you can try different models, find a shoe that suits your feet, get some help from experts working there. And yeah, this will probably save you, or it could save you from a lot of aches and pains later on from buying a pair of ill-fitting running shoes, which is just as bad, if not worse, than an ill-fitting wetsuit. One mistake beginners often make here is choosing shoes based on the brand and based on how expensive they are. So choosing one of the more expensive pairs of shoes from a well-known brand just because it's a big brand and the shoes are expensive, so they should be good, right? But what you need to keep in mind is that no matter how good the shoes are, I don't think the expensive shoes are, I've never tried a pair of expensive shoes that I would consider bad, but not all shoes fit everybody well. So find the shoes that are a good fit for you and prioritize comfort for you and your individual feet and even your running style, perhaps if you go to a shop where they will actually be able to see you run on a treadmill and maybe even help decide on the running shoes based on that a little bit. But yeah, comfort is the main one. You can walk around, run around a bit and make sure that they feel comfortable. And that should, yeah, price or trend in terms of brands being trendy, that's not something really that should influence your decision too much. That being said, running shoes is one area where I think it's generally worth it to go into the mid-range prices rather than entry-level prices. So you definitely don't need to get the most expensive shoes or the like top range high-end shoes. But I would probably also recommend not getting the cheapest shoes from any given brand or the ones that are on the very much the cheaper end of things. Something in the mid-range generally should work well as long as you choose one that fits you well. Then some general, or let's call it race-specific gear. There are a few things that can make your race day smoother. One is a race belt. A race belt is mainly used for holding your bib number, and you're supposed to wear the number on your back during the bike leg and then rotate the bib number to the front for the run. So if you're using something like safety pins, you would actually have to stop in transition and fiddle with that, or perhaps turn your t-shirt around, and that wouldn't be ideal either. So having a belt that just means that you can just rotate it around your waist and get the bib number in the right place for the bike and the run respectively. So a race belt is a really good investment, cheap. So yeah, it's really something that I would recommend. anti-friction cream, something like Vaseline, Body Glide. That's another really good race day item that you can use to prevent chafing in common areas like armpits, thighs, or even around the neck. If you wear a wetsuit, that's an area that commonly chafes. Then there are some optional items here that I would say a tri-suit could be an optional item. Elastic laces for your running shoes is another one. So starting with a tri-suit, this is a suit that basically you wear the same outfit through the swim, bike, and run in the race. So you wear it under the wetsuit if you're using a wetsuit during the swim. Or if you're not using a wetsuit, then the tri-suit ends up being your swimsuit. For biking, it has a little bit of padding to make it more comfortable to sit on the saddle. But it's not a large amount of padding. It's not like your bib shorts or your bike shorts. So it's not in the way at all when it doesn't feel like you're running around in a diaper or swimming with a diaper. And the final thing that a tri-suit, that is good with a tri-suit, is that it usually has some pockets, which is useful for storing some energy gels that you might want to take on during the race. That being said, it's absolutely not essential. You can use regular running shorts and a t-shirt for your first race. So for example, let's say it's a non-wetsuit swim, just wear your swimsuit for the swim. Then in T1, you put the shorts and t-shirt on top of the swimsuit and you do the bike and run leg in this outfit. And the second optional item that I mentioned was elastic laces. So they are only needed if you wear specific cycling shoes on the bike, which means that you then need to change into running shoes in T2, transition 2. The elastic laces are used instead of traditional laces in your running shoes. So you have to remove your normal laces and add the elastic laces instead. And they basically make your shoes easy to slip on really quickly without any tying or untying needed. You can slip them on and they can still be nice and tight on your feet. And in this way, elastic laces is basically a cheap upgrade for making your transitions quicker. And they're easy to use, but they definitely aren't necessary to begin with. But it's something that, you know, it's kind of a cool thing. It's very triathlon specific and it makes you feel a bit like a triathlete without spending a lot of money. So I think that that's an optional item to even for the early races. Now, moving on to nice to haves and upgrades that you can make later on. And I'm leaving this intentionally a bit vague because it really depends a bit on where you're coming from. I think when to start upgrading it to some of these things or start to acquire some of these items can vary. For example, if you come from a single sport, you come from running into triathlon, that could be very different than if you come from off the couch into triathlon, because if you come from running, you kind of know that you like endurance sports. You just don't know if you like triathlon. It's a higher likelihood, I would say, that you will stay in triathlon and commit to it. If you come off the couch, you don't even know if you like endurance sports. So that's a bit how I view this and why it's a bit vague, and I won't give specific timelines on when you should get anything, because it does vary. Anyway, that was a bit too long of a preamble. Sorry about that. I started rambling a bit. But the following items, I would say, are nice to have upgrades for later on. And it's not in a particular order, so that it's not in a hierarchy of you should get this first and this next necessarily, except maybe the last item on this list, I think, is the last item that you should get. But let's start here with a road bike. So if you have been using something like a commuter bike or even a hybrid or mountain bike until now in your first races, then once you get to the point that, okay, you want to have a let's call it a proper bike for triathlon purposes, on road triathlon purposes rather than off-road triathlon, then I strongly recommend getting a road bike actually first, because this is a great bike for you to have even later on if you also have a triathlon bike, also known as a TT bike, time trial bike. You can easily use both and enjoy both. The road bike is just a lot more versatile. It's more fun outside of racing. You can use it in group rides. And you can use the road bike and you can actually be really fast on a road bike if you put on a pair of clip-on aero bars on it as well. So that's not the ideal. And if you ask some bike fitters, they would say that that's not the way to do it. But also I think that some of that comes from a time when triathlon bikes were a lot cheaper than they are now. So yeah, anyway, my recommendation is get a road bike first. And then eventually after a year, 2 years, 3 years, you start to feel that you want that extra speed that a triathlon bike will get you. Then you get a time trial bike in addition to your road bike. But if you've done your first couple of races and you've already been on a road bike for these races, you already had it, maybe you came from cycling or you just had one anyway, then you know already that, yeah, triathlon is the thing, you want to stay in the sport, commit to it, you want to race faster, then yeah, instead of the first scenario where somebody would consider getting a road bike at this point, for you, yeah, you could consider getting a TT bike. You don't have to wait for a year or whatever timeline. You could get a TT bike at this point because you already know you like cycling, probably having a road bike. You've done your first triathlons on it. You know what it's like. You know that you want to go a bit faster. So that's a good sign that you're ready to try to upgrade to a TT bike. When you're getting your first road bike or your first TT bike, whichever one it is, I strongly recommend working with a bike fitter to make sure that you get the right size and the right geometry for your bike. And this is a personal mistake that I made in the past. It's definitely the one piece of advice that I would give myself as a beginner when it comes to gear and equipment to do this, and I didn't do it. But if you cannot work with a bike fitter for whatever reason, then at least buy whichever bike it is from a physical bike shop where you're able to try the bike and somebody knowledgeable, even if they're not a bike fitter, but they work in the store, they can help you and make sure to the best of their ability that the size and the geometry seems correct for you. That's something that I think is quite important. And yeah, then the second nice to have or upgrade for later on that I want to highlight is a second pair of running shoes to rotate running shoes. When you choose this second pair of shoes, I recommend that you end up with one, what is called a daily trainer. So this would basically be a more cushioned shoe. It's suitable for logging miles, perhaps for doing some longer runs on, and still, yeah, cushioning you and absorbing some of the impact. And then the second shoe would be a faster shoe that you choose for racing, but also for faster training sessions. So that's how I would recommend you set up your shoe rotation. Shoe rotation can be a really important thing actually for injury prevention. So that's a pretty good thing to do. It's not something that you need to do early on, but once you get a bit more serious about triathlon, you're running and training regularly, this could be a good nice to have in not too far into your triathlon career necessarily. Then the third point here is actually three different pieces of technology. So a GPS watch, a bike computer, which is also sometimes referred to as a head unit, and a heart rate monitor to capture. And these are all very good pieces of equipment technology to capture your training data and log your training data and to know a bit more about your intensity, your running pace or speed, your bike speed and your heart rate, both biking and running. And yeah, so there's lots of good options here. You don't have to go for the most expensive ones. There are good entry-level and mid-range options, and I think that's probably a good way to go when you get to this point. And finally, a power meter for cycling. I would say that this is maybe something that you get after you have all of these other things. For sure, you can't get a power meter before you get a bike computer or GPS watch because you don't really have anywhere to use it. Maybe your phone, but that's not really all that practical. So, you can't have a power meter, or it makes no sense to have a power meter really as a triathlete before you have either a road bike or a time trial bike. So that's also something that you should have before. So I think power meter comes last on this list. Probably the other things are, you could get one before the other, and it's not really in order. But the reason to get a power meter is that speed is not really a great metric for how hard you're working in cycling, because speed varies so much by grade and wind. Much more so than running, and in cycling we just also tend to choose courses that are more varied in terms of the grades particularly, so there is just that natural variation. So a power meter allows you to basically get an objective measure of how hard you're working, how much power are you pushing into the pedals. So that's useful when you start to get more serious about training and improving. But with all of these, keep in mind, these are nice to haves. They are upgrades for later on. So don't rush into any of these. Get onto this when you know that, okay, you actually want to upgrade to one of these items and you know how you'll use it and why you want to have it and how you want to use it. There's no rush with this, but these would be the next things after you have the essentials and maybe some of the optionals that I mentioned in the first part with swimming, cycling and running gear and the race gear. Now, let's discuss a bit how to avoid wasting money when you're getting into triathlon. So some tips to keep your budget in check are, number one, to wait until you know what you really need, because your knowledge will definitely evolve about what you need, and specifically, not just that you want, let's say, a new bike, but you know more about what bike you want and why, etc., or what power meter you want and why. So be patient, and it's not just your knowledge that will evolve, but also your preferences might evolve. So this is a good tip. Don't spend money early on just because you think that you need to have everything quickly. Tip number two is to do a few races before investing in anything much, especially any high-end gear. It kind of goes together with tip number one, but it puts a bit more of a timeline onto it to have at least a couple of races that you've done before you really start to think too much about upgrading and investing in more gear. Tip number three is to borrow from friends or from people at your local tri club. And by the way, joining your local tri club or finding a local community is one of the best things you can do as a beginner. It will be so helpful in so many ways that I really recommend that you do this. Tip number four is to buy secondhand, but be aware of questions regarding fit. So for example, it might seem like a great idea to buy a bike secondhand, and it is a great idea if you can find one that fits you well. But if you end up compromising on how well it fits you, then it's not really worth it in the end, and you're likely to regret it later. And the same goes for things like a wetsuit or anything where individual fit is important. And tip number five is to try before you buy. We talked about this already. Go buy a bike where you can try it. Go buy a wetsuit where you can try it and get some help assessing the suitability of it. And when you get more experience later on, then online shopping can work very well. But the first time you buy a wetsuit, the first time you buy a bike, running shoes, do it with some help in a physical retail store or with the help of a bike fitter in the case of a bike. Try before you buy will save you money, because when you buy something that actually fits really well, you'll be able to keep using it for much longer than if you end up buying something that barely fits and that you're frustrated with and can't wait to replace. The point of this section on how to avoid wasting money is not that you shouldn't spend money. If you love gear and you have the money, then there's absolutely nothing wrong with spending money and getting gear. Nobody should judge anybody for spending money on their hobby. And it doesn't matter how fast or slow you are, or how new you are, or how experienced you are. But the point is to remove barriers to entry for beginners, and you shouldn't feel like you have to spend a lot of money early on. So being aware of how to avoid wasting money, or how to avoid spending money, I guess, is a really important topic with this purpose of removing barriers to entry for beginners. Now, let me share a quick personal anecdote. I already discussed my first triathlon in episode one of the beginner series, and I did mention the equipment I was using. You can go back and have a listen to the details of the whole experience, the whole race, but in terms of equipment, which is the most relevant part for today's episode, I was using a windsurfing wetsuit I already had in the garage that was not made for swimming at all, but I got through the swim. And I used a commuter bike for the bike. I didn't have a road bike. I didn't have a triathlon bike. And this was an Olympic distance triathlon, so it was relatively long to do on a commuter bike. For me, at least, it felt long. But this means that I didn't actually buy anything. I didn't spend a single penny before doing this race. Actually, the race entry was free because it was a free club event rather than an actual race. So the costs were zero. Of course, I had some stuff already. I had that windsurfing wetsuit. I had running shoes, some other bits and pieces. I know not everybody has that before they start triathlon, so the point isn't to say that you should do your first triathlon spending nothing on equipment. The moral of the story is that the image you can get from triathlon on social media or on YouTube, or if you go to a big race like an Ironman, the image that it conveys is sometimes that it's important to invest in a lot of gear, but that image is not really true, at least not when you're starting out. Because you can start with very little and see if you like it, take it step by step from there. That's how I did it. I definitely made a lot of mistakes. I wasted quite a bit of money in some cases. But the biggest mistake, which I already mentioned, is that with the first road bike and the first TT bikes, I didn't properly assess whether they were a good size and geometry for me. I kept riding those bikes for a long-ish time, so it wasn't a massive issue, but I don't think my performance was optimal as the fit was limiting me slightly. So there was some frustration, I think it's fair to say. And yeah, hopefully that's a mistake, as I said, that you can learn from. So let's summarize again the essential items. These are the bare essentials for starting out. For the swim, you want a swimsuit, goggles, and a swim cap, and a tow float or safety buoy, whatever you want to call it, if you're training in the open water. A wetsuit is only needed based on the water temperature of your first race, so you might be able to not have a wetsuit at all. A bike, any working bike that will do just fine. It could be a commuter bike. A helmet is essential, and a basic repair kit is essential. Some cycling kit, but it could be just running shorts and t-shirt, even though bike shorts and jersey could be nice to have as well. Run, you need well-fitting and comfortable running shoes. You need good running socks and some basic sports clothes, and that's it. And general race gear, it's not exactly essential, but I put race belt and anti-friction cream like Vaseline in this category. Everything else really is optional or something that you can upgrade to later on. Things like tri bikes, GPS watches, and power meters can come significantly later. It's not even a second race or third race thing necessarily. It can be a second season thing, or basically something that you can get into when you know that you're committed to triathlon. The main takeaway here is that you can start simple, really simple, and still have a fantastic experience in triathlon. Just as good an experience as somebody starting with much more gear. So don't let gear be a barrier to entry for you. And that wraps it up for another beginner series episode. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find the show notes on scientifictriathlon.com/beginner3, and that's the number 3. In the next episode of the beginner series, we'll talk about how to structure your training and the key principles of training that will help you prepare for your first race. If you have questions for that episode, please send them in advance to me. My email is michael@scientifictriathlon.com, and that's Michael with a K. Or you can DM me on Instagram @scientifictriathlonhq. If you're enjoying this beginner series, I hope you do, then please share it with a friend, share it in your local tri club, on social media, wherever you can. And I keep forgetting to ask about this, but if you could rate and review the podcast in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen, that really helps a lot. All of these platforms, they use reviews and rating to determine what shows to recommend to new listeners. And without new listeners, this podcast isn't sustainable. So if you can support the show in this way, I would be incredibly grateful. And if you're interested in anything like training plans, coaching, or so and so on, then do check out scientifictriathlon.com. You can find out more information about all of that on our web page. Finally, big thanks to our sponsors, Precision Fuel and Hydration, that you can find on precisionfuelandhydration.com. If you're looking for high quality, practical, and tasty fueling and hydration products, make sure to try Precision Fuel and Hydration. And don't forget to take 15% off your first order with the code TTS25. Thank you, as always, for listening. Keep training smart and keep loving triathlon.